You're listening to Spartan Up Podcast. We're going to interview somebody every week from all over the world and see what they did in their life to become successful, no matter how they defined it.
Hey, welcome back to the beautiful Amy Barn here in Pittsfield, Vermont. Got some great people around me. To my right, Joe DeSena, Sefra, who only needs one name, Colonel Tim Nye, who makes up for it with three names, and then a person whose name you'll know but not her face is Marion, our wonderful camera person and producer behind the camera, keeping us all on track. Speaking of on track, father, son, son following in father's tracks, Travis and Mark Macy. Wrote a book called The Ultra
Mindset.
Yep,
fantastic. Incredible book that really gets into the core of how somebody will run 100 miles, 200 miles, and then apply those lessons learned to business, to life, et cetera. How can you push further than you thought you could push?
So this isn't just for runners, this is for anybody.
This is, well, we're all running in life, right?
Sure,
we're
running
right to the grave.
Perfect. There we go. Well,
let's
go watch this interview before we end up in the grave.
We're in the jungle of the Bahamas right now with Mark Macy and Travis Macy. And Travis Macy is an ultra distance marathoner, correct?
Yep.
Mark, are you?
Yes.
You got an Ironman hat on.
Yes.
Is that your first sport, Ironman?
Actually, I was ran a couple of marathons and then I did the Ironman.
So tell me your guy's story. How do you get into this and you end up writing this wonderful book about the ultra mindset? Take a look, which is the mindset needed to run 100 miles or 200 miles or whatever you decide to run.
Yeah, well, it's that, but it's also, I mean, I think what's most important about the book is it's the mindset of the things that we learn from doing these things, whether it's an ultra run or a triathlon or a Spartan race, which I did my first Spartan race today, and it was awesome. I mean, I have not taken this medal off because I honestly had a sincere sense of accomplishment for it, and I've done all kinds of shit all around the world, and like this was really, really cool. So anyway, the point of the book is that it's these things that we learn and practice by doing these activities in the training forum and how we can apply them to other racing and training, but also to life in general. So kind of what we do in the book is each chapter is a specific story, usually from an adventure racing, but also from ultra running and endurance mountain biking and maybe Spartan racing if there's a second book. But it starts with one of those stories and then it leads into a specific mindset principle. And we talk about some of the psychology behind it and that sort of stuff. And then the final part of the chapter is activities on how do you apply this to your own life. You know, maybe you're parenting, maybe you're working, maybe you're trying to make it through college, maybe you're training for your first 5K or CrossFit or whatever it is. How do you take these things and apply them? And by the way,
that's the point of the podcast. So I'd love to dive into that part a little better, is how you take what you learn in a race, whether a Spartan race or Ironman or an ultra run, and apply it. And then what are those attributes that you're seeing people develop at the races? That's what I'd like to dive into with both you guys, because you've been doing it longer than both of us probably combined.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. I mean, I like your podcast because you guys talk about this idea of using obstacles to build resistance, you know, to the obstacles in life. And honestly, that's a lot of what this book is about. You know, it's other language, but it's the same idea. So, you know, a few of the things in the book, you know, the first chapter is called It's All Good Mental Training. And that comes from really, you know, when I was growing up, I was a little kid and my dad and I were out there, you know, mountain biking in the woods in Evergreen, or I was watching him do the, you know, Leadville 100 or something like that. And that's, you know, that's what my dad would say. It's all good mental training. And I thought all kids grew up, you know, out in the woods, you know, hearing their dad
being told
about mental training. And, and he was never pushing me or, you know, telling me to do any of this stuff. But the way that he taught me those things, you know, I sort of couldn't resist doing it. So
it sunk in.
You know, something like that. When you're suffering through something, basically you have two choices. You can either think of yourself as a victim and, you know, oh, this is hard, you know, I wish I was doing something else. Or you can tell yourself a story like it's all good mental training. And it is, you know, that's good mental training for the next time you do it, or for the time, you know, when, you know, I have two little kids who are 2 and 4, you know, and I'm up in the middle of the night changing diapers, you know, I mean, it's mental training. Like for me, that's where the ultra mindset really comes out, you know, it's the big stuff in life.
This too will end. Is that, I mean, right? You learn that it always comes to an end.
Yeah.
You just got to get to the finish line.
Yeah, it's all about perspective, you know. If you set out to do a 5K race, you'll finish a 5K. If that's starting line, if you're doing a 100-mile run, if your plan is to do that and that's your perspective, then you will. And a lot of it's not worrying about the, you know, the distance that you'll cover. It's just doing it. You know, another thing I talk about in the book is thinking about your thinking versus kind of what you're doing or why you're doing it. And when you're doing something that's very task-oriented, so today when I was doing, you know, some of these obstacles, the vertical walls, those walls, I've never climbed over a wall before. Maybe I haven't been, like, chased by cops enough, or I've never done parkour or anything, but those for me were really hard, and I had to really think about what I was doing. You know, the first time, it took me, like, five times to get over it, and I finally stopped, and I watched a few other people. You know, that's another thing in the book, Be a Wannabe. I watched these guys, and I'm like, okay, I learned something. Then I really had to think about what I was doing. Versus other times when it's just long and draining and you're pounded after 80 miles of a 100-mile race, automatically you think about what you're doing, and it sucks, you know. Oh, I'm taking another step. That really hurts. I'm puking, you know. If you think about what you're doing, it's not going to work. But if you shift your thinking to why you're doing it, that's what's going to get you through it those times.
Focus on the process rather than the outcome, right?
Yeah,
a lot of people just care about the medal or they mm-hmm. care about the money, but that's not what it is. It's the whole process, the journey to get there.
Yeah, I would say yes at times, but when you have that, when what you're doing is very long and monotonous and you're tired, then you think about why you're doing it. So you think about that medal. You know, right. I think about my kids, you know. Right. I think about, you know, what I'm going to see my kids there at the finish line, and what can I tell them? What are they going to see by me doing that? You know, other people maybe, hey, you're trying to do your first 10-mile run. If you're at mile 8 and you're thinking about quitting, think about getting it home and putting it on Facebook, and, you know, your friends are going to be psyched. You know, it'll get you through. I think that's totally fine.
I want to take a break. Well, I guess we'll go for a 100-mile run here on the break, and we'll come back, and then let's apply these lessons to business and the average person that's just got a job and trying to get through their job. Want to do that?
Yeah.
Sure.
100-mile run.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
We're back with the ultra mindset here, and I mean, you've been doing this forever.
30 years. Yeah.
And you must have felt broken along the way during some of these events.
I've felt extremely broken during a lot of events, both physically and momentarily, psychologically. Always come back from the psychological part at some point in time after a little bit of struggle and end up finishing.
And what'd you learn through that?
Well, I basically, you know, Travis uses a little bit different term than me, but I think it is mental toughness is the key to all of this stuff. And it's not only a key to doing, you know, crazy athletic events like the Reebok Spartan Race. I mean, I think it's the key to life. I think it's the key to success. I think it's the key to taking care of your kids. I think it's the key to, you mentioned starting a business and having a business that's successful. I think it's all mental toughness.
Because everything that will go wrong does go wrong.
And, absolutely.
And so then what do you do then, right?
Yeah, and it is. And I think, and to continue the theme, I think mental toughness is a learnable trait. If you think about it, And I think everything you do in life, from the time you're a little kid until the time you're in high school, until you're an old guy like me, mental toughness is a learned trait.
You know what I think? I think we all have it, but it's gone dormant.
Well, you might be right, because
need it.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need it today. Right. Well, you live in a house that's climate controlled, the water is perfect temperature, the coffee goes on when you wake up. Yeah. You don't need mental toughness.
You're right. And people don't develop that skill because they don't think of developing it. And I think it's absolutely learnable, and everything you do helps to develop that.
We used to have, what's the word I'm looking for, where you do something big as a culture at 18 years old.
Yeah, rites of passage.
A rite of passage.
Right,
and we don't have that anymore in this culture, right?
Right.
We should let lions loose in everybody's house every morning for an hour.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, when I was a kid, there wasn't a lion in my house, but you know, there was.
It was him.
Well, there, my dad was there. No. But actually, honestly, what I was thinking about was my mom, and she's had some very significant health struggles over the years. I mean, when she was 7 years old, when I was 7 years old, she had a liver transplant to save her life. She had a kidney transplant 10 years ago. I mean,
she just keeps fighting.
Yeah, she does. We're here doing this podcast. She's at home. I mean, she's had some skin cancer stuff, and she goes through these treatments, and she has to sit in the room in the dark for 48 hours.
Wow.
And she's doing that
right now, as we speak.
Wow.
And I wasn't going to come to this because of that, and my wife Pammy just said, you know, go ahead and go. It'd be good for you and Travis to spend time together.
Yeah. So she's strong.
But I think the point is, the takeaway is that in life there's mandatory mental and physical challenges. You know, even if we live in these air-conditioned environments, a lot of it's pretty...
You're going to hit a
bump. A lot of it's
cushy
overall, but something is going to happen, just like you said. And, you know, it's like, you know, you run 100 miles, you plan really well, you have a plan, but something's going to happen. And the point is dealing with that. And so I think the takeaway is preparing for these things in life that are going
to
happen.
That's what I was going to say, is the people that say to me, oh, Joe, that's ridiculous, you don't need to run that far or do that much exercise. And I think you nailed it. I think it's not just the exercise, it's the training up here, when we do hit a speed bump, and everybody's going to hit one.
Yep.
Everybody's going to hit one.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're not prepared, and then you lose your cool, and that only makes things worse.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys probably never lose your cool. He probably never loses his cool. Does he?
I'd say we're both pretty mellow most of the time. But, you know, everyone has these points. Like, for me, you know, I'm very lucky to be in many ways a stay-at-home dad. And my kids are 2 and 4. And, you know, anyone who's a parent, you know by 3, 4, 5 o'clock, you know, you got 2 little kids. Like, everyone's a little stressed, you know, especially if you hadn't had the naps and things are falling apart. And, you know, at that time, it's, you know, that's when I'm thinking about this stuff.
Yeah.
For me, that's harder than, you know, whatever, going out and doing a long running race or something.
What I'm thinking of doing, I don't know, tell me what you guys think. We're going to be getting on the cruise shortly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking we stop about 10 miles from Florida, throw everybody overboard, and have them swim back.
Well, time game.
Yeah, they have those PFDs on the boat with a little light. So,
there you go.
I don't know.
I actually thought about that last night when it got dark, and I went out and looked off our balcony. I thought, man, this would be tough if you had to jump off here
tough.
In the dark, hey?
It'd be tough in the dark.
Whatever.
Yeah. I interviewed a girl once who swam 100 miles, and she said swimming in the dark, you get in the zone. Just get in the zone and just, you go somewhere. So you've got the mental training, you got the dad, you've got the DNA from your parents. Pretty hard to write a book. I wrote a book. I know what you went through.
You're right. I mean, honestly, for me, the first step was huge. You know, I was at a point in my life where, you know, I was racing and stuff, but I also had a regular job. I was teaching school. I was enrolled in a program to become a high school principal, and I had started this program. You know, I was halfway to my principal licensure. I had spent money on it, you know, which is a lot of money for us. And, you know, basically what I realized is the path I was on, you know, to being a high school principal, which, you know, I have many friends who are high school principals. It's a great thing for many people. But I realized it was driven by fear. You know, I had this fear that I wasn't making enough money as a teacher, so I was going to take the next logical step. And thankfully, I you know, came to terms with myself and realized this is not what I want to do. And I, you know, I went up, you know, it sounds kind of like, you know, backward sort of thing, but I went up and I went camping by myself up in the mountains. And you know, that night I really had a sort of conversation with myself and said, you know, I'm dropping out of this program. I'm quitting. You know, I never quit anything, but I think sometimes people don't quit things they should because they're afraid of what's on the other side. And I quit that. And that same night, I sat there and I started writing this book. And basically, I committed to myself and to my readers, like, I'm going to get this thing out there. And I hadn't written a book. I had no publisher. I had no agent. You know how it goes. It was a process. I had to ask for a lot of help on the way. I had to scrounge. I had to make a lot of cold calls, you know, and finally one way or another, it came through. So I'm proud that I did it. I've learned a lot.
You know how many people I've had in races that have said to me, no, I'm dropping out. And I said to them, I don't think you should. I think you want to get to the finish line. And they would use the same logical explanation you just used when you decided to make a left turn in your life. Mm-hmm. But your decision may have been right. Their decision, I think, is wrong. And I think the difference is they've only got somewhere between another 6 hours or 20 hours to wrap it up.
Yeah.
You were going the rest of your life, and that wasn't what you wanted your legacy to be. Yeah.
Well, here, the way I put it, and actually it's the final chapter of this book, is called Never Quit Except When You Should Quit.
I love
it. The way that I put it is...
You know what? You should be leading this podcast.
I don't know. Yeah. I might have to like sit in a bucket of cold water or something. That's what I've heard on the other ones.
Yeah.
But the idea is, if you're doing something in your life that's important to you and it aligns with the vision that you have for yourself and how you want to be in the world, then you don't quit. You know, you don't quit. Quitting is not an option. And that's, you know, it's a lot easier if you simply make quitting not an option.
So if
when
you...
When I wrote this book, the first thing I said is, quitting is not an option. I'm going to do it. But on the other hand, if you're doing something that's not putting you down that road, quit.
Quitting's
an option, and that's hard.
You've just solidified something I've been thinking a lot about. If you're climbing a mountain, you're close to summiting Everest, but it all of a sudden got dangerous and the weather's really bad. If you had decided that you're going to be the greatest mountain climber in the world, you might go for it. But if you had decided you wanted to be the greatest parent in the world, you turn around and coming down is mandatory, and you live to fight another day.
Yeah.
Right? So it really depends on what your where your North Star is in your life, like what you want to be in life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great point.
If you want to be the greatest principal ever, you don't quit.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, and it's also, you know, it goes, you had a great podcast with Angela Lee Duckworth, you know, who talks about this psychology stuff, and she mentioned the growth mindset.
Yeah.
And if you're in a growth mindset, you know, you can turn around, but then you can go back again, because your goal is to get better.
Good point.
If all you have is a fixed mindset of I'm proving myself, then you might keep going and you might die. So that's why, you know, having a growth mindset and trying to get better, That's why it works. You know, that's why the people who win, that's what they do.
We're going to film a little bit tonight. We've got your teammate that's going to attempt to set the world record on a treadmill.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to run 50K.
Yeah.
So explain your team. What's the story with your team? Yeah. You're a bunch of nutcases.
Well, that's, in some ways, I mean, you know, ultra, my primary sport right now is ultra running. You know, I spent a lot of time adventure racing. I was a professional mountain biker for a while. Now it's mostly ultra running. It may become obstacle racing. Like I said, I mean, this was awesome today. And especially, I think I like the longer ones and the
You would love the Ultra Beast.
Yeah.
You would love it.
Yeah. I saw there's one in Breckenridge. Yeah. So I'm looking at that. But anyway, Michael Wardy and I, who's going for the 50K record tonight, you know, we have a couple of shared sponsors. We're both on the Hoka Ultra Running team. Vitarco's our other sponsor. And it's, you know, this cruise has been awesome. Like, the people I've connected with, and you got someone like Michael, who, you know, today he goes out and he does this obstacle race, and he knows he's not going to win, but he's doing it because he's into it, and his kids are here. He probably wants to set an example for them. And then, you know, tonight running 50K, hopefully faster than anyone's ever done it on a treadmill. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's his bread and butter, and he's going for it. So
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So we'll film him tonight, and we'll loop him into the podcast here.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You guys are awesome. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very nice to meet you.
My pleasure.
I told you that obstacle immunity keeps coming back, right? Whether it's an ultra runner, whether it's a military guy, whether it's the forest, the trees and the people that have obstacle immunity, go further.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like what he talked about, that it's all good mental training. And, you know, when things go sideways and things get tough, instead of saying, why does this happen? Say, awesome, this is the stuff that I need to set me up for everything else in life.
Yeah, because time's going to pass no matter what. I mean, you've experienced it in the military. You've been in dark places.
Yeah, or just even schools, training schools. You know, you always go back to, for me, Ranger School. You know, and you see guys drop out, or SEAL school, buds, whatever. You know the school is ending on day 72 or 58 or whatever it is. So why you can't just keep going, because you know it's going to get there. Just keep moving.
Right. There's an end in sight.
It will end.
Yeah.
Right. Now, in combat, maybe you don't know if you're going to get through the next day or not, but
in school, you know the end is near.
And they talked about thinking about your thinking. And they said, you know, when you're out there and you're going for a long time, the further you go, the more you're going to start getting into the why am I here, what am I doing, can I possibly finish this? And I like when you said that's when you got to start thinking about your thinking. And instead of just going on automatic pilot until you're grind yourself into the ground and can't continue, you stop and say, oh yeah, that's right. I knew I would have these thoughts. I knew I would want to quit. I know that I got to keep going. I know that it's going to end at some point. So that's where you get into the meta, and you're thinking about your thinking is a really cool philosophy.
You know how many people over the years have come to me, I'm sure you guys, with really logical reasons as to why they should quit? I mean, it makes...
Why they didn't do something.
Or they want to stop right here.
Right.
They want to stop right here. This is why it makes perfect sense. And I'm saying to them, you're going to regret it.
Yeah.
You are going to regret it. And 100% of the time, they regret it. Mm-hmm. So your mind, to your point, could play a trick, and it does play a trick
sure.
on you, and give you a logic. Well, it just doesn't mean the same thing it used to mean to me anymore. That doesn't make sense why I'm here. I'm not doing it for the right reasons. 4 days later, you're kicking yourself.
I won't call him out, but one good friend of ours, I remember 2 years ago in the death race, actually posted his manifesto as he quit while everyone else was still racing. It was probably half an hour explanation of why it made all the sense in the world that he'd quit. And I think, man, you got to regret posting that.
Bold.
Yeah. But those are great stories, too, sometimes when people quit and they make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are interesting to watch. I remember, again, I go back to Ranger School and a guy was... It was in the middle of the night, and you could hear somebody rummaging through his rucksack, you know, and you heard the RI, the ranger instructor, yell, you know, it's not the, who's eating, who's, I've told you not to eat or something. I said, no, I'm eating. You're not allowed to eat or something. I said, you don't understand, I'm eating. You're going to get thrown out. That's the idea. I'm eating. Go get somebody to get me out of here. Well, you got to walk off this mountain. I'm not moving. Go get a helicopter or something. I mean, okay, I'm making my stand. I've had enough. That's it, you know. But exactly what you said, though. Everybody else around him said, what an idiot. You know,
right.
I mean, this is kind of funny. For us right now, it kind of breaks the tension.
Sure.
But, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah,
you
but and you bring up a good point, too, you know, where the military, where you have these set challenges that really are a rite of passage. You can't continue in school until you've done this thing. And you mentioned that in life, we don't have a lot of rites of passage. And that's where some of these institutions have maintained that. And obviously, they serve a huge purpose. But most people go through life trying to avoid anything difficult. And so you just don't have that vision quest, that rite of passage, that ranger school kind of thing. And so I like what they pointed out too, that in life there are lots of mandatory challenges. Stuff is going to happen no matter how much you try and keep life on track. You're going to face sickness, you know, your family having issues, whatever else.
You better be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Right? There's always setbacks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Something you didn't plan on.
Yeah.
Something happens.
But one of the things I want to do, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
Because I'm sure there's vision quests out in the forest.
That's exactly. Thank you, psychic.
One of the things I want to do for the family, I'm sure social services will show up after I say this, is I want the family purposely to run out of food. And I want the kids in the house, right? And I want to see how they react for a day or two. My wife reacts with, there's just no food.
I might let her in on it.
Yeah, take it to a full
water
week.
Right?
Take it to a full
food
week.
But
you'll be sure to get arrested.
That's great, though. I think it makes a lot of sense. And yeah, we were talking about that yesterday, about the idea of who is able to, because at some point the power grid's going to fail. At some point, there's going to be something apocalyptic. And, are you the person who doesn't have any clue how to function? I'm okay with the dress rehearsal for that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Dress rehearsal, I like that.
Being prepared is important. I don't know if you want to go all the way out to full-blown prepper kind of thing.
Well, let's start with my stealing their boku. I forgot to do that.
Well, yes. Marion's Floodbound documentary kind of was a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, you've
so
been
I
there.
I think that's a... And speaking of... the military, what you guys are talking about before, and there's a great book called Resilience, and he talks about how in BUDS, the guy's going like, oh, I'm trying. And the guy's like, there is no try. There's only do.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't try to cover your swim partner's back.
Yoda said that.
Oh, sorry. Missed that one, guys.
That's good.
But wait. And then one other thing. Yeah, there is no try. There's only do. And the only other thing is if you are interested in vision quests or rites of passage, the School of Lost Borders in California is reinitiating rites of passage in modern day society and leads vision quests all over the country.
Or you can come to Pittsfield and
we will put you through one. Absolutely.
And before we break, though, the one thing I did want to say about this interview, it was interesting having the father-son combination. That's the first time we've seen it. But in so many of these interviews, we've talked about family and family being the center and everything. Mm-hmm. And here you've got, you know, son following his father. So those challenges in life, whatever they are, and then the running, he can look right there. I mean, the mentor is right next to him along that road. And, you know.
And so
inspiring to see father son. Last night I had one last thing, then we're done. I said to my son, done. It was really cold here last night in Pittsfield. And I said to my son, hey, we need pellets, wood pellets. They're about 80-pound bags. My son's 9, and I said, look, about 300 yards up in the barn, there are pellets. Mommy's going to freeze if you don't get them. And he went up there.
That'll be on you, son, when your mother freezes to death.
And he carried 5 bags down in the rain.
One at a time in a wheelbarrow.
He went and got a wheelbarrow on his own, figured it out, loaded him up.
Right.
It was awesome to watch.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is good.
So father sons are awesome. Although father wasn't there, I'm just watching from the window.
Well, it was cold out, right?
It's cold. I don't want to go outside.
Well, speaking of father sons, thanks a lot to this father son for giving us some great material to cover on this one.
For show notes, audio, and video of this episode, visit SpartanUpPodcast.com/054. Thank you for listening to another epic story of success. Follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod. The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.